We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grow up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
All right, welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark Selection Sunday extravaganza, Sweeney. We are going for, another 2 hours. I got Kevin Sweeney. My name is Rob Doss. Jarrell is jumping on with us here in just 1 second. Jarrell McNeil, Marquette legend, the Big East legend, the tall cappuccino is what we call him these days, Sweeney. That's a story for another day. Our last hour are going to be our betting experts, none other than the three-man weave making their triumphant return back to the Field of 68. Love those guys. I'm going to be very excited to hear what they have to say about all of the NCAA tournament brackets and breakdowns and betting picks, because they are the best college basketball betting analysts that you're going to find on these here internets. Sweeney, here's what we're doing for this one. We're breaking it up a little bit, all right? We're not going region by region. I'm firing out questions. We're going to have a long talk about some of the more interesting debates that we can have in the NCAA tournament bracket now that we have it in our hands. But I want to start with this. I know you are an opinionated human being. So give me your biggest gripe and biggest takeaway from looking at this bracket from when you finally got it.
I felt like the Mountain West got disrespected. Maybe I'm a homer now. Me and Terrence Oglesby are the Mountain West guys. We were both out in Vegas this past week. But like, I thought it was disgusting what the committee did. I mean, look, like Boise State and Colorado State scheduled top 50 non-conference schedules in the country. Colorado State's QB beat Creighton on a neutral court, beat Colorado an at-large team. Boise State beat St. Mary's, VCU, San Francisco, all in the non-conference. And then the committee has the audacity to sit up there, committee chair Charles McClung, to say that the reason that the Mountain West got bad seeds was because their teams had mostly beaten each other in the league. Well, all right, well, TCU didn't beat a single tournament team in the non-conference. Why did they get a higher seed than Colorado State and Boise? Why did they get a higher seed than Nevada? TCU and Nevada played each other. Nevada won by double digits. Like, there was no lot. I mean, Dayton didn't beat a single at-large team. They get a 7 seed. How does the half the Mountain West wind up below that? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so, look, if the committee wants to just flat out say, we didn't think the Mountain West was good as everybody said, just say it. Don't dance around it and give us all this nonsense. Like, if I was a coach in the Mountain West, I'd be furious. Like, I'm saying mad. And I know that a couple of them are. Like, I mean, the way that league performed all year, performed in the non-conference, performed throughout the regular season, and performed during conference tournament week, for it to get the treatment that it did was really disappointing, in my opinion. Obviously, great that the league got the 6 bids, but to need 2 in Dayton and, you know, a quote-unquote bid steal in New Mexico to do it, to me, that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I don't usually tend to be one of the big conspiracy theory types, but I will say that in a point in time in the college basketball calendar where the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 keep pushing out these threats and keep saying, oh, we're going to try to find a way to secede from the NCAA. We're going to try to find a way to break off from the NCAA. We're going to try to find a way to get rid of the mid-majors from the NCAA tournament. You better expand this NCAA tournament to more teams so that more of our teams can actually get in. Doesn't this feel just a little bit like the NCAA tournament saying, hey, look, we got your back. We're going to only let three teams in from the non-football Big East. We're going to have all of these Mountain West teams that everybody knows are damn good, and we're going to disrespect them with the seeds that we give them. If I was a conspiracy theorist, if I doubted the sanctity of the selection committee, that's something that I would think was potentially afoot. Jarrell McNeil is here. J-Mac, I'm glad to see that you're alive. I'm glad to see that you're awake. I'm glad to see that you made it back from New York City. We're breaking down this bracket here. We're going to do it a little bit differently, Jarrell. I was just telling the people that are listening. I'm going to ask questions, all right? It's going to be the burning question episode. We're not going through region by region. We're doing burning questions. I have 8 of them written down. I sent it to you guys earlier. I know Sweeney probably didn't take a look. He's just going to go off the cuff here, but it is what it is. Jarrell, I'm going to you first.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Which number one or number two seed do you think is the most likely to get upset in the first weekend of the tournament this year? Who is pulling a Purdue or an Arizona?
Goodman won't like this answer, but I would say Iowa State. And it's not the fact that they haven't played well and they haven't showed up. Still, I feel like at times they scare me offensively. They got a really deep team, which is a good thing throughout the course of a regular season. But at the same time, they kind of got like an equal opportunity of offense where they got a lot of guys who chip in. They don't have one guy that's averaging 25 points a game. And I'm not sure if they necessarily have a guy who can, you know what I mean, when you need a bucket or you're going through a rough patch offensively that can completely take over a game. I know the point guard has been great and everything, but I feel like they kind of run into one of these teams and they have an off night defensively, or somebody just comes in and gets really hot and they're shooting the lights out. They're a team that kind of worries me. Are they going to be able to keep pace on a night where their defense isn't rock solid? So I think that would be my pick for a one or two seed that's probably most likely to get upset in the first weekend.
I don't hate it, Sweeney. What do you got?
I think Doster said me to kill here because I think I'm picking Jarrell's Marquette Golden Eagles. Like, look, I love this Marquette team. I've had a ton of fun watching them. I've been up to campus a couple times for games. Like, they're a really good group. But, I mean, this draw is scary. Like, 15-2 game, you're playing a Conference USA team in Western high-level guards and has, you know, three guys who basically were starters at the high major level and Brandon Newman, Dante Allen, and Rodney Howard. Like, that's not a gimme. And then you roll into, you know, the second round, you're playing, you know, potentially a Florida team that has been really, really dang. I mean, you know, has some big time wins, has size, has athleticism, has old guards who can create offense. Or, you know, if Florida, there's a good chance it's to Colorado, a Colorado team that's top 30 in all the metrics. That, you know, look, hasn't had those big wins, but that's a Colorado team that has beaten or that has talent. I mean, KJ Simpson is, you know, one of the most dynamic guards in the country. You know, Cody Williams, maybe the first college player drafted. And obviously Da Silva's phenomenal too. So, yeah, that second game, if you're Marquette, feels very scary, especially if Tyler Cole is still getting his feet back under.
I was just going to ask this one. Would you feel the same way if TK was healthy and played throughout the course of the last couple of weeks here?
Well, I actually thought Marquette played better without Tyler Kolek than I expected them to. Like, they held on. I thought played well in the Big East tournament. Like, I give Shaka a ton of credit. I give Cam Jones credit because he was, you know, phenomenal. But, look, to me, it's just another question mark. It's also hard because I don't think there's a ton of these top two seeds that I'm that worried about. Like, I'm a little worried about North Carolina because I think Mississippi State has proven they can beat elite teams. Michigan State's obviously dangerous with their guards and with Tom Izzo in March. But, I think for the most part, the paths are pretty comfortable for a lot of these top two seeds, at least to get to the second weekend. And for Marquette to have to play, in my mind, the best team of the sevens in Florida and probably the best 15 as well in Western Kentucky, that's not the matchups that I would be desiring if I was Shaka Smart.
I agree with you. I don't like Florida. That Florida tip does scare me. That scares me second round.
They scare me a little less with the big fella, Han Logan, with his injury.
He did go
there. But I hear what you guys are saying in terms of, like, even without him, Florida still has like three different guys on that roster that can go for 25 on any given night. I'm going with two teams, right? And I think that the matchup that everybody wants in the Elite Eight is Arizona and North Carolina, right? And I think that both of those teams could end up seeing the flight home instead of the flight to the second weekend. So North Carolina and Mississippi State, I think that's a tough draw. If Mississippi State can get past Michigan State, I think that is a tough draw for North Carolina because I feel like this team is more about their, like, toughness. It's not the typical North Carolina. We're going to out-talent you. We got nine NBA players. You don't have nine NBA players. We're going to get up and down the floor. You're not going to be able to stop us. Like, they kind of win a little bit with toughness and defense and controlling the tempo. And, oh, by the way, we got RJ Davis. And I think that Mississippi State is underappreciated for how good they are on the defensive end. And they got a big fella in Tolu Smith that can go toe-to-toe with Armando Bacot pretty easily. I also, and the reason why I keep looking over here is I'm the guy that prints out the paper bracket. You always got to have a paper bracket, man. And once you finally fill it out with pen, I didn't fill it out yet, but once you fill it out with pen, that's when you know it's official. Arizona is a little bit more simple and basic because I just don't trust them to show up every single night. Like, that's one of those things where Kai Boswell might go 1-for-14 and Caleb Love might go 2-for-38. And all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you lose by 15 points. And out of anybody on those top two seed lines, I think you guys would agree with me when I say Arizona has the highest ceiling and lowest floor combination, like the biggest gap between how good they are when they're great and how bad they are when they play like shit. So, I'm taking two. I'm breaking my own rules, and I'm taking two teams there. Cinderellas. All right, that's where we're going next. Jarrell, Sweeney, I'll go to you first on this one. Who went first last time? Sweeney, did you go first last time? No, Jarrell went first, right? All right. First. So it's Sweeney's turn to go first. Sweeney, who is the Cinderella? Who's putting on the glass slipper? Give me the double-digit seed that you think is the most likely to get to the second weekend.
Man, I don't hate this draw if I'm James Madison, right? Like, I mean, this is a 31-win team, a team that has gotten a lot of attention and deservedly so. And you draw a Wisconsin team first round. Look, like, Wisconsin played really well this weekend. Beat Purdue, pushed Illinois, but coming in had lost 8 of 11 and really still finding its stride, trying to get back to where it was in, January and December. And so to me, like, we've seen many times teams that come in hot off the conference tournament, you know, lay a bit of an egg. I mean, remember a couple of years ago, Iowa wins the big, wins the Big Ten tournament, gets a 5 seed. Everybody's hyping up to go make a deep run, and they lose to Richmond in the first round, right? I kind of think a similar letdown might be coming for Wisconsin. And then if James Madison can get past that game, you play a Duke team that has really been going through some stuff lately, right? Obviously, the NC State loss. I think there was reports for the players-only meeting, like. I mean, Jarrell could probably speak to this better than I can, but I can't imagine it's a very
good time. I love a good players-only meeting, Sweeney. That's when things change, when the players-only meeting. And you know it's a good players-only meeting when it gets leaked to the media. Those are the best players-only meetings, right? That's when you know they got serious in that players-only meeting, when the media finds out about it.
Yeah, complete like, BS. Yeah, who's the leak? Which player is going to the media telling them that? I would go with Sweeney, I was with you on the James Madison, so I'll just take a left turn here, just so we don't double up on them. I can see them beating Duke second round for sure. But I think you got to at least consider Virginia or Colorado State. Really either or. Obviously two different teams. But Virginia getting in, which I would say I'm not exactly thrilled about anyway. But they kind of got the makeup. They got the coaching, they got the system where, you know, that's a team that, you know, you let in and it's going to be some, I feel like it's going to be some teams on that side of the bracket that's probably going to end up regretting the fact that they got in at all, when it's all said and done. But either way, Colorado State's really good. They got a tough draw because they got to play each other, obviously, but they got a dynamic guard in Isaiah Livers. And I feel like if he's able to get past
Isaiah Stevens,
Isaiah Stevens. Isaiah. Yeah, I messed that up. I'm making names
time hanging out with LaVal Jordan and all those Michigan guys.
it's been a long week. But yeah, I mean, he's the type of guy that can break through and have a really big march, and I feel like can kind of put the team on his back and make a deep run if they're able to get past that first game or so. So I would go Virginia or Colorado State.
Jarrell, I think you spent a little too much time with James Schaefer down there at Schaefer's Bar and Grill in New York. If you're picking Virginia to get to the second weekend, I can't co-sign that. I can't get behind that one. I have three that I'm going to go with. Okay. And look, I'm going to break all the rules. It's my show. I can do whatever the hell I want. And I'm curious. I want all of you. I want both of your opinions on this. So, the first one is Grand Canyon. And I don't think people realize how freaking talented Grand Canyon is and how good Tyon Grant Foster is. Like, you're going to watch him and you're going to say, oh, okay, I understand why that dude ended up at Kansas. Oh, okay, I understand why that dude was the reason why DePaul was so excited about what they could have been in the 21-22 season, right? You're going to see him and you're going to say, oh, I understand why that dude's going to end up being a first-round pick. He's different. He's going to be the best player on the floor against St. Mary's. He has a level of athleticism that St. Mary's hasn't seen before, and I'm just not convinced St. Mary's is all that good. So I'm going to take Grand Canyon to beat St. Mary's. I'm going to take Grand Canyon to beat whoever wins that Alabama-Charleston game. I want to see Alabama try to stop Tyon Grant Foster because they just don't have a big wing to be able to deal with him. So I think Grand Canyon is one of them. And the other two is the McNeese State-Samford game that I think is going to happen in the second round. I have Samford beating Kansas. Kansas is banged up. I think they're probably going to have like a 50% Kevin McCullough and a 75% Hunter Dickinson, and they're already a four-person team going up against someone that wants to go like this and up and down, press, force turnover, shoot a bunch of threes. I don't think Kansas in this current form can deal with Buckyball, and I think McNeese State is just flat-out more talented than Gonzaga is this year. I don't trust a team that's going to try to play three bigs. When you have Anton Watson as your three-man, I can't fully buy into it. I think McNeese State is going to take down Gonzaga. So one of those two, McNeese or Samford, will, by default, end up being in the Sweet 16. Sweeney, what is crazy about that? How off my rocker am I right now?
Well, I think you're pretty crazy for saying that McNeese is more talented than Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga has Graham Ike and Ryan Nembhard, who were like two of the five best players in the transfer portal last spring. And no offense to Sade Wells, but Sade Wells was not nearly a top five transfer in the portal. They also don't have an Anton Watson. Look, I think McNeese, can compete because they turn you over, play a very unique style, and I think they will be disruptive to Gonzaga. But I just don't know how they handle Ike on the inside. I mean, this is a team that starts a center who's 6'6", 6'7". Ike is a guy that you're going to have to send doubles to, and once you do that and Gonzaga gets you in rotations, it's really scary. So I don't necessarily see the McNeese upset. I do sort of buy the Samford thing, just because I think, as you said, it's just a very uncomfortable style of play that you're going into. And if you're Kansas and you've you know, has limited practice. You have limited bodies when Samford's, you know, going to be fresher and deeper. That would be of big concern to me. But I do also think, like, I'm not sure when the last time Bill Self lost in the first round was. I know it's been quite some time, and I don't really intend on betting on that happening now.
Jarrell?
I'm with you. I'm with you on the Grand Canyon part. We watched a little bit of that game last night. I hadn't seen a whole lot of them. And I will say that I was thoroughly impressed, man. They got and not just the Grant Fawcett, but he's definitely gonna be head and shoulders, probably the best player on the floor, man. Just watching a little bit of him last night. I haven't seen a whole lot of guys at the college level. You know, just with his frame, what he's able to do offensively, his body, his athleticism. But they got some other guys as well too on the interior. Pretty good athletes. I like the way that they played. They kind of got up and down a little bit. They're gonna be a headache for sure for somebody. And I think they got a winnable first game, possibly first two games. So they might be sizing up that Cinderella shoe. But I can't roll with the McNeese State. I'm all out on that one.
All out. Oh man, all out. You're down Will Wade. Will Wade is a gangster. No, Will Wade.
is Mark Few not a gangster? Mark Few hasn't missed the second weekend since 2014.
Mark Few is the exact opposite of a gangster. Doesn't mean he's not good at what he does. But my man spends his weekends fly fishing. I don't know if there's a single gangster in the world that goes fly fishing. And I say that as someone that goes fly fishing. If you want to follow us, make sure you go get the Vaulted app. That's where we will be posting all of these predictions and these hot takes. You can store them forever and prove you're smarter than your friends or your enemies, who is apparently now Jarrell McNeil for shitting on my McNeese State take. That was a hard thing to say. McNeese State take. That's when you know it's the end of championship week, when you can't speak anymore. All right, Sweeney, I'm going to you first on this one again. Who has the most pressure on them in the first day of the tournament?
Whew. I mean, look, I think the teams that have, you know, dealt with March woes are the ones that you circle, right? And so the biggest one is probably Purdue, right? Look, I think Purdue is going to beat the snot out of Montana State or Grambling State. I think Purdue is relatively upset proof this year. This is a team that is so much more than just Zach Edey. You know, I think last year, you know, you could game plan for them a little bit more easily. This year, I don't see how they lose. But look, if there's any game pressure, if they go down five at the, you know, first media timeout or the second media timeout, like, they're going to feel it, and it's going to get uncomfortable. I think the other team I would highlight is Kentucky, just because, you know, it's been well documented, obviously, the struggles from John Calipari and in the NCAA tournament. They're playing an Oakland team that, you know, it's a kind of high variance group. Take a ton of threes, have played well against high major opponents, pushed Illinois, pushed Ohio State, nearly beat did beat Xavier, excuse me. Like, this is a group that has been dangerous. And again, that's another team where if things start to bad, how does this young Kentucky group respond on the biggest stage?
Jarrell, most pressure.
Purdue. It's the easy one, right? It's the Boilermakers. And it's not necessarily because of their draw. They did everything that they were supposed to do all year long. But like I said, you know, with great expectation comes, you know what I mean? It's going to be a lot of pressure. You know, that anything short of them making a deep run this year is going to feel like an absolute failure and a huge letdown to them, the guys on that team. I'm sure Matt Painter feels like this has got to be one of his magical years, where he kindly gets over the hump as well too, and along with the fan base, you know, they got one of the low key best fan bases right now, man. And those guys have been showing up and showing out for Purdue all year long. I saw them going crazy all the way out in Maui, man. So you know, they need to make sure that their heads are on straight. Because this is pretty much the time that they've been waiting for the entire season. So they're gonna have a tough game that second round. I think they'll obviously probably cruise the first round of the game, whether it's Grambling or Montana State. But you know, they're planning on making a long run, so they have a couple games and they got to settle in. But they obviously, for me, have the most pressure.
I want both of you guys to answer this, and you don't have to go too long on it. But out of where does Purdue fit? Like, where do they get the first real test, Jarrell? Is it going to be the Utah State TCU winner? Is it going to be anyone that they get in that Sweet 16? Like, where do you see them getting their first real test where they get some real game pressure on them?
I think they can have a tough game that second game, whether it's TCU or not. You know what I mean? They can definitely have a tough game. Those are two pretty good teams that they'll face up against. We'll see how things play out just as far as the style of the game, as well, whether Purdue is completely healthy. I know Edie and Braden Smith have been a little bit banged up, especially those last couple games in the Big Ten tournament as well, too. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Is Edie going to be able to stay out of foul trouble? You just don't – they want to avoid those situations early on, I feel like, where they get in that second half and they're down and they end up having to make a comeback, or they end up in the first half and Zach Edey ends up with two or three quick fouls. And they essentially, you know, kind of got to kind of go back to the drawing board and had a big fella out. So I think they'll get tested in the second round, but I don't think they'll see a legitimate challenge probably into the second weekend.
Sweeney?
I mean, Doster already said that Kansas and Gonzaga are getting worked by Stanford and McNeese. So, but by that rate, I think Purdue rolls to the Elite Eight with no problems. But look, I think if Gonzaga or Kansas give the game, right? I mean, Gonzaga in particular, that game was close a lot of the way when they played at Maui. Gonzaga is a better team now. They're more experienced. They've been together. You know, the chemistry is better. That would scare me.
Yep. All right. We'll get back to that conversation in a second, because we're joined by a very special guest, fresh off of a Big Ten tournament championship, Brad Underwood, the man that they call Daddy Brad. How are you celebrating tonight, Brad? Feeling all right?
Well, doing great. It just landed, just walked in the house, and I call you guys so I don't have to unpack all the luggage and let my wife and daughter do it. How's that?
That sounds good, man. Talk to me about this win. You guys put it together, beat Ohio State, beat Nebraska, and today you beat Wisconsin to win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, it was different. Wisconsin's playing really, really well. Chucky Hepburn, we played him a couple weeks ago and wasn't ultra aggressive. And here in the last couple of games, he's just taken on a new personality. So I knew this was going to be a different game than when we faced them in Madison. The game in Madison, Stephen Crow got in foul trouble. Tonight, that was not the case. But Terrence Shannon, Marcus DeMoss, our defense stepped up big. Heck of a college basketball game. And, the first two nights were a little different. We didn't play great. We had to come from double-digit deficits. But every game was different, and it kind of had a different personality, and we had to do some different things to find a way to win.
Yeah, Coach, obviously Terrence had a huge game, but Marcus DeMask, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, could you have foreseen when you signed him last spring that he'd be making that type of impact in a game like this? And what does he mean to your team in March?
Well, he means a lot. He's a really, really good basketball player. He's high IQ. He's big and strong. He had a really tough shooting night the first night, and it was nice for us to be able to win. I think he was 3 of 16, and yet he's got such a great mentality. He just understands it's a game of basketball. You know, it things didn't go his way, and he didn't make shots. But almost a triple double here in the last two games, and does it kind of non-conventional. We're a big booty ball team, and he's really good at it. And, he's a guy that we like matchups, and he was tremendous again today.
Coach, I feel like Terrence Shannon is playing are primed to have a breakout March here. He's obviously been rolling the last couple of games here in the Big Ten tournament. Do you feel like he's back to clicking on all cylinders at the right time of the year?
I do. And, you know, he got off to such a great start this season. And, you know, when he came back, he was he's such a good teammate. And we were clicking. We were number two in the country in offensive efficiency without him. And but where we really missed TJ was on the defensive side. And, you know, yesterday in our game with Nebraska, you know, we had him on Tominanga the entire game. And he was chasing him around and making life difficult. Today, you know, we started out on Store. We had to switch him to Chucky. You know, he's doing it at both ends. And we actually don't run a lot to him. I think he drew 19 fouls in the last two games. So he gets to the line. He's sensational in transition. And, you know, he just kind of comes by his points organically. You know, it's not where we're running a lot of actions to him.
Brad, I got two more questions for you. I'm going to start with this. You win the Big Ten tournament, and you're celebrating as the selection show is kind of going on. Like, how do you balance cutting down nets, getting your trophies, doing all the announcements, while also saying, okay, we got more ahead to stay. I got a plan to get this team because Preston Spradlin's got a pretty good group down there.
Yeah, we learned a lot a couple of years ago in the bubble, a lot of not what to do. Now, again, it was the bubble, and we never got to put any closure whatsoever to win in the Big Ten championship. And again, different environment. It was one of the first games that actually fans had been able to come to at Lucas Oil. But, you know, as soon as the game was over, we didn't see Selection Sunday. We were on the stage. They couldn't pipe it into the arena. We had no idea who we played till really the press conference. And then they whisked us away. We had to go test, and they gave us a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and we didn't see him again until Tuesday. So we didn't get any closure on the end of the season. And, you know, tonight I told our guys, I said, we're going to enjoy this. You've worked really hard for it. And I said, after tonight, I said, once we land, I don't want to see any more T-shirts, hats, anything that says anything to do with Big Ten champions on it. And we've got bigger fish to fry. We've got a very quick turn with Moorhead. We play Thursday afternoon. So it's, you know, three hard days, a lot of minutes, and get rested and recouped, and both physically and mentally, and get back after it. But bigger fish to fry. And we got to enjoy this one tonight and then move forward.
All right. So in the first hour of the show, Coach, we did bold predictions. And my bold prediction for the East region was that BYU was going to take down Illinois in the second round. So here is my promise. If and when that does happen, I am giving you and specifically Coleman the open floor to come on the field of 68 to tell me how wrong I was. Would you accept that if and when it does happen?
Sure. Absolutely. I know they've had a great, great year in their transition, you know, just everybody's talked about how good they are offensively. And I haven't, I'll be honest, I have not watched a ton of them at this point, you know, just watching other games during the season. But I'll be glad to take you up on that if that indeed happens. So one game at a time, we got to beat a very good Moorhead team who shoots a ton of threes and has had a great season, and I don't look too far ahead.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Go and start preparing, and make sure you get that hat off before your team sees that you kept the hat on after you landed. No more championship gear, all right?
I put that on just for you, and now it's in the closet.
Appreciate your time, Coach. Best of luck. All right, safe travels.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That was Illinois head coach Brad Underwood, and I can tell you this, our producer Trevor Valise has never been a happier man than he is right now.
The best month of the year is here.
which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request: the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68, with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research, and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder: make sure that you subscribe to the Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe. There is nothing better in sports in tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rithm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rithm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rithm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rithm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rithm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game, every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rithm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us. I'll just say, I do want to put a bow on the most pressure conversation. I would just say that it's John Calipari, the Kentucky head coach, to kind of be the the difference maker here. Just, you know, he's lost early in the tournament the last couple of years. And if that happens again with this team, with all of this talent, with how exciting they are, with all the NBA players, with how much expectation there's been, I don't think that would be a pleasant experience to be in Lexington if that were to occur. All right, next question that we have. Which region is the most difficult, Jarrell? Which is the region of, what is the region of doom, the bracket of death, however you want to phrase it? Which is the most difficult region in this tournament?
I'm going with the South. I think the South is crazy loaded. You got Houston, Marquette, Duke. Florida's playing at a really good, a high level right now. You got the ultra talented and young gunners in Kentucky. You got James Madison. You got Wisconsin, like A&M, Nebraska. Like, you got a ton of good teams. I think the South might be the tough. That's going to be a gauntlet to get out. Whoever comes out of that is gonna really have their work cut out for them, in my opinion.
Sweeney?
I think it's the East. I mean, you know, the gift that UConn gets for being the number one overall seed, defending champion, is the top four seeds in the region all being Power Five conference tournament champions. You know, two seed Iowa State rips through the Big 12. Illinois, we just spoke with Coach Underwood, obviously winning the Big Ten. Auburn finally breaks through, wins the SEC tournament. They're playing great. I mean, UConn's gonna have to go through a top five team in KenPom just to make it to the Elite Eight. Like, that is a grind. And then you work your way down, right? And you see San Diego State, who was in the title game last year. FAU, who's in the Final Four. You know, the BYU team that can space and shoot it at a super high clip. Like, there's a lot of scary, scary teams in this region. It is not going to be road for UConn to get back to the Final Four. Obviously, they're, you know, the best team in the country. They've earned that label. But I would not be surprised if they do get taken down just because of the path they have to get to Phoenix.
If UConn gets taken down?
I would not be surprised.
By who? Where's it happening?
I think.
Where's it happening?
I think Auburn. How about this?
I'm not like trying to break your balls on this, because you are the first person that has come on here and said, like, I could see, I would not be, like, T.O. said it, Tyler said it, Fanta said it, the Goodman said it. Everyone that's been on here said, like, I see UConn making the run. So talk to me, like, where do you see him getting tripped up?
So how about this? Last year, UConn was number four in KenPom coming into the NCAA tournament. They were a four seed because they got tripped up a couple times in Big East play, games they shouldn't have won, lost, whatever. Well, knock on the door. Here's Auburn, number four in KenPom, a four seed, a team that is so talented, that is so deep, that has size, that has questions at point guard, right? Oh my God, is Tristan Newton the guy? Oh man, is Trey Donaldson good enough, right? Like, I've been buying this Auburn team all year. They proved this week that they can win on a neutral court, right? They've proven that. You know, look, that was the question all year. What were they away from Neville Arena? They proved that this weekend. So to me, like, I'm riding with Auburn until I die. Like, I think this Auburn group can make a Final Four. I would not be shocked if they are playing for a championship on Monday night in Phoenix.
There you go, Sweeney. Look, pushing all the chips in, man. I love it. Respect to you for that. That was really – I didn't see that one coming. That was good. That was really good. All right. Who is this year's Steph Curry? Give me a guy, Jarrell, in the mid-major ranks, or it could be someone from a power conference program that's like 9, 10, 11, 12 seed somewhere down there. Give me someone that you think can go on this run where they average like 30 a game and get their team to the Elite Eight, maybe to the Final Four. Who do you like?
Elite Eight, Final Four, that probably changes my answer a little bit, because I was
then go with someone else. Yeah, who do you see putting the team on their back?
I was gonna circle back and say Ty and Grant Foster was gonna put on the show for as long as they ran. I don't know if they got the talent overall to make a deep run, but I definitely see them being the team that can definitely get to the second weekend and at least get three games out of ordeal. But I think that's like one of America's best kept secrets. I think when people kind of get that kid on the national stage and just see his makeup and some of the stuff that he's able to do, and not to mention just what a great story it is for a kid that's been through a lot too, man. So I'm definitely rolling with him for, you know, kind of make a story like run.
I love that one. I love that pick. That was one of the guys I had written down. Sweeney, give me one. Who you got?
If New Mexico makes a deep run, I think America's going to either fall in love or absolutely despise Jalen House. I mean, you should see the way the Mountain West fans deal with him. I mean, they Mountain West fans all either want to kill Jalen House or think he's the greatest thing ever. I mean, this dude is as fiery as they come. I was, you know, in Vegas all weekend. Like, he picks a fan every single game that he is just going to talk trash to every single stop. So there was these San Diego State fans sitting, like, right above my media seat on Saturday afternoon. And he literally, they win the Mountain West championship. The buzzer sounds. He does not run to his teammates. He does not run to his coach. There is no high fives or talking. He sprints to that guy, points at him, and starts yelling things that I probably shouldn't say on this air. So that dude loves to compete. He's super fun to watch. Obviously, you know, a quick, shifty guard who can make shots, who really defends. He had 28 in the championship, 29 against Boise in the quarterfinals. He's the type of dude that could be, I don't know if he's Steph Curry, but he might be a little Marshall Henderson.
He's got it in him. Did you see his dad after he hit the shot in the title game to put him up 5 with a minute left? Did you see the video? If you were there, I don't know if you saw the video, but did you see it, Sweeney?
I saw it go around. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So his dad, for the people who don't know, is Eddie House, former NBA player. And after he makes the shot, they zoom in on Eddie, and he goes, "That's my motherfucking son. That's my motherfucking boy." Yes, Eddie is fired up. He's locked him. He's like every single one of the local people. Oh man, that's exactly if my son ever like that's what I'll be doing when my son's playing like church league, like first round of the tournament here. I'll be sitting there and go, "That's my motherfucking son." I went with two. I kind of cheated a little bit. I went with two. I went with one mid-major one. I'm going Tucker DeVries. I mean, I think that Drake can take down Washington State. And then Iowa State travels really, really well. But there's going to be a lot of Drake fans that make the short trip down to Omaha to play. For the people that don't know, like, Omaha is literally on a river that borders Nebraska and Iowa. Like, it is not that far from Drake. It's not that difficult for them to get to. Be a lot of Iowa State fans there. I think Drake can find a way to get that win. It's an in-state rivalry. It's going to be passionate. They're going to be fired up. And DeVries, you could probably make an argument, Sweeney, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that he'd probably be the best player on the floor. He certainly would have to be. If they had a win. And the other one is just, it's Wade Taylor, right? Like, I think that we have two incredible 8-9 matchups in the West and the South, or in the East and the South. Nebraska, Texas A&M is Keezy against Wade Taylor. And then you have Florida Atlantic, which will be Janelle Davis against Boo Booey. And if any of those teams make it to the Sweet 16, it'll be because one of those four guards goes absolutely bonkers. Who is the lowest seed that is realistically capable of winning a national title? Sweeney, I'm going to you first on this one. This is a loaded question. This is a difficult one to answer. I had a lot of trouble with this. Who do you got?
I think it's probably a 4 seed, and it's Auburn, who I just kind of spoke to. Like, I don't know that I see – right? I think there's a lot of teams that can make a run below that, right? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if BYU's in an Elite Eight game. I wouldn't be stunned – if, mm-hmm. you know, Gonzaga could push Purdue, as I said earlier, right? Or, you know, New Mexico maybe makes a Sweet 16 early in 8 with the draw that they have, right? But, like, I'm not sure I see anyone cutting down the nets below Auburn. And Auburn's really, like, the top 4 seed. So, to me, that's where I would go.
Jarrell?
That's the line. I think that's got to be the line. You know, if you're not in the top 4 seeds, I don't think anybody below that. I don't feel like anybody below that can realistically win the whole thing. Now, can somebody get to the Final Four? Absolutely, especially with the year that it's been. A handful of teams have been what we consider dominant or really impressive all year long, but it's a ton of parity out there, man. And you know, even the conference games, like, it made the selection and everything more difficult because the conference games have just been so mucked up with teams beating each other. You can't tell who's good and who's for real and who's not. But I think the 4 seed is definitely the line right there. Anything below that, 5s and down. I can't think of 1-5. I don't know if I could think of a 5 that can win the whole thing.
So I think the 4 seed is the line, just because I think we saw all season long that there was a significant drop between
the top four seeds in the country and then everybody else, right? I have a very hard time seeing someone that's not UConn or Purdue or North Carolina or Houston winning six straight games, right? Like, I don't know who it's going to be. I think UConn is rightfully the favorite. I think Purdue is rightfully the second favorite. I think Houston, if they're healthy, is rightfully the third favorite. And I think North Carolina should be in that conversation. But I just, everybody else has enough warts where I'm just like, I can't talk myself into six in a row. I think we're going to have kind of a chalky Final Four this year. I think we're gonna see something where you got a bunch of one seeds and two seeds, and maybe someone sneaks in. But I think we're gonna see a relatively chalky Final Four with a bunch of big brands, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You know, sometimes that's a lot of fun. I wanted to put together a list of the teams that I think can actually win a national title, right? Like put a cap on it. And I want to know what you guys think on this. So we'll start with UConn, Houston, Purdue. Do either of you guys see any reason that we can't put one of those three teams in the conversation as like a national title contender? Can you talk me out of it?
Nope.
Nothing?
No, I got nothing for you. I'm with you on that.
The next tier for me would be Arizona and North Carolina and Tennessee. Sweeney, talk me out of one of them.
If I had Fry, I would talk you out of Arizona. Look, I don't know. Maybe I'm, recency bias with our game against Oregon, but it was concerning watching how their offense just kind of fell apart. I mean, Oregon threw kind of a junky zone at them. Caleb Love just starts trying to shoot over it, and you start to like if that's how they're responding to game pressure in conference tournament, what are they doing in the next double tournament game? I mean, it was so bad with Caleb. He was minus 19 in 26 minutes. Like, it was so bad that, they're playing the biggest moments of the game with their two guards being KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley. And I like KJ Lewis and I like Jaden Bradley. Like, those two dudes are dogs. They're great defenders. They're very competitive. I think they're a big reason why Arizona has gotten to where they are. But I think it's going to be difficult to score in March moments if those are the two guards that are on the floor. So I think the question marks with Boswell and the question marks with the Caleb Love experience, if you will, that's the thing that would concern me with Arizona. Maybe I'm not saying they're gonna that they can't win a title, right? I wouldn't say that. Like, I think they're at least in the conversation, but they're not a team that I trust right now.
Jarrell,
I agree with the Arizona thing, but I'm gonna go the other way and go. I'm gonna talk you out of Tennessee. And I'll give you the reason why, Rob. It's I've been watching a lot of them all year. It's primarily because I really enjoy watching Dalton Connect. He's had a hell of a year and just been spectacular all year. But I feel like last year their shortcoming was that they didn't have enough firepower offensively. So they go get this guy who's an absolute bucket and kind of turns the college game upside down on his head this year. And, obviously going to be like a first team All-American and all that stuff as well. But somewhere along the way, I feel like they lost a little bit of their edge defensively and even physicality. I enjoyed watching that Tennessee team last year down the stretch and hearing people bitch online about how they were like the dirtiest team in the country. And, they were physical. They were bumping dudes. They were mixing it up a lot. And I felt like that just gave them, more of an identity. Like, and they kind of fed into it a little bit. I feel like they got better. They addressed some needs. Getting Connect and having Zakai Ziegler playing at a high level gives them an added dimension. He's been really great down the stretch, and he's starting to look like his old self too. So, I mean, I love their team. I love their roster. But I do feel like at times that they kind of get it going and up and down pace a little too much, and they don't guard as well as they need to. So I'm going to talk you out of Tennessee with that one.
Yeah. I think the one, I'll just to play devil's advocate, I would be a little bit worried about North Carolina in the sense that I think that they are winning games right now because they're trying to play, I said it earlier, but they're trying to play this like toughness style. And I think that if you get real physical with them, then you can cause them a little bit of issues. All right. I call this tier the one trick pony tier, and that will be Illinois, and Kentucky. We've never seen a team that entered the NCAA tournament ranked lower than 39th in adjusted defensive efficiency win a national title in the KenPom era. Both of those teams are ranked outside. I believe it's the top 90 now. Yeah, Kentucky is 108 and Illinois is 93. I don't know why, Jarrell. I just can't quit either of those teams. Kentucky is obvious because like they can put up 110 points any given night, and they're almost always going to put up 110 points or at least 90 points, something like that. And you basically got to do what Texas A&M did to beat them. And if you got some horses, if you got some Wade Taylors and Boots Radfords, you can find a way to do it. But I don't know how many teams do it. So I think Kentucky can do it. And then Illinois, I think that they can be good defensively. I think that one of their issues is just a lack of attention, and sometimes they lack focus, and especially now with Terrence Shannon back, maybe they got a little bit better, but they got some switchability stuff going on. They have length and athleticism. I really, really like both of those teams, and maybe I just fall in love with teams that can score. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, Rob. And I'll even go so far as to say that I think that we'll be seeing both of those teams in the Sweet 16 at least. So I have no argument against that. Like you said, they're not great defensively, but man, they both have star power. They both have game changers on their team, and they fill it up. And like you said, I've said this all year. I think Illinois specifically have the makeup. They have the guys who can, as individuals, who can guard. And I've seen, they can cut a team's water off and make it hard on you defensively too, especially if they get into doing some more of that switching stuff or going small and putting, playing with Hawkins at the five. Like, they got some different options and things that they can do. But I think both of those teams are going to end up in the Sweet 16.
Sweeney?
So I think the one thing I would say, like, generally, like, I think Kentucky is an easier road than Illinois. I think Illinois got a really tough draw. But I think I trust Illinois for a little bit more. One, because they have old dudes. And two, because I think the one thing that Illinois does do really well defensively is they run you off the three-point line, and you got to beat them with twos, right? And I think in a high-possession game that Illinois is going to play with the dudes that they have out there, like, it's going to be hard to beat them with twos in this setting, right? I worry with Kentucky, like, you know, John Calipari keeps saying that everybody has their hot day against them. Well, part of that's that they don't do a very good job of playing in the arc. Like, they let teams take a lot of threes. And if Kentucky runs into a team that's hot, right? I mean, you know, potential second round meeting with Texas Tech, right? Texas Tech has dudes who can fire away, right? Like, that's scary in a one game situation, right? Even Oakland. I mean, Oakland shoots a ton of threes, right? I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Kentucky will be deserving if they go out in the first weekend, but you know, it's that style of play that would worry me, right? With Illinois, like, I think you're going to have to outscore me the old-fashioned way. And I think I feel a little more confident in Illinois being able to find a way than I do with Kentucky.
All right. I have two more that I can see winning a national championship. But they are – there's red flags, there's things going on that I don't fully buy into. And that's Creighton and Marquette. For Marquette, the issues are obvious, right? Like, Kolek's banged up. We don't know exactly how banged up he is. We talked about how concerned we were, Jarrell, last night. We don't need to rehash that entire conversation. And then Goodman today said, I think that he's going to play, and like kind of more or less insinuated that Kolek is going to be going, and he's going to be at least on the floor for the majority of the game. So I would put Marquette in that conversation, assuming that Tyler Kolek is Tyler Kolek. I think Cam Jones figured something out, and I think that the trio of him, of those two, and Oso is as good as you're going to find. Job's been a lot better recently. Chase Ross is putting it together. And then who's your boy off the bench? I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, you're talking about Trey Norman or Zay Lowry?
Oh, yeah. Trey. He's a
– Okay, yeah.
He's going to be real good. And then the other one I would just say is Creighton, because – Yeah, so Creighton has Sweeney. Creighton has three guys that can initiate offense. They run sets as well as anybody. They make threes as well as anybody. And they are so good at running you off the three-point line and just funneling everybody into the paint where you have the three-time defensive player of the year in Ryan Kalkbrenner. Outside of, like, let's just assume that Kolek is healthy. Can you poke holes in either of those two as potential title contenders?
I think the thing that you would say with both of those teams is, do they have the NBA talent, right? I think traditionally speaking, right, the teams that win championships are the teams that have dudes that make a living in the NBA. And I'm not convinced that either team has that, right? Maybe Creighton does with Trey Alexander. Maybe Marquette does with Oso. Those guys have, you know, been in big board, been in the conversation. But I think both of those guys are going to be really important in this setting if they're going to break through and make a deep run. Like, I'm a believer in Creighton because I think Stephen Ashworth is playing better. They have balance. They can really, really shoot it. And they have guys who've been through it in March before, right? I mean, maybe no team has a more bitter taste in their mouth other than Purdue than Creighton from how last year. And we're, you know, a one whistle from the Final Four. And so, to me, like, I would be afraid to play Creighton. I think the only question is, just do they have that, like, high upside dude that, that changes a game? We'll see in March whether Trey Alexander can be that guy.
Yep. You got anything on them, Jarrell? We talked about Marquette last night. What do you think about Creighton?
I'm in complete agreement with you. And I think, to your point, Sweeney, I think Trey Alexander is that guy. I got a chance to spend some time with him at the Nike Academy over the summer and everything out in Portland. And number one, a really great kid, great dude, but a talented player. And it seems that when he's on and when he's playing well, man, that he gives them a different dimension to that team just offensively. You know, Shireman's been pretty rock solid. He's going to do what he's going to do. Kalkbrenner's going to do what he's going to do. But when Trey is on and he's clicking, it makes them really tough to guard offensively. And then, you know, they've always been a pretty good defensive team, especially, you know, with the reigning defensive player of the year and everything as well, too, man. So I think either way, listen, I'm praying with everything in my body that one of these Big East teams that actually got in makes a deep run, because they got absolutely holes this year. After what we just sat there and watched for a week in the Garden, Rob, for it to be three teams to get in, like, I hope they all do well. So I'm just a Big East fan. As long as Marquette doesn't shit, as long as we don't see UConn, we'll be fine at this point. That's the only kryptonite. And we got to make it a long way to get to them. So exactly.
See you in the title exactly. Game. And we'll run it back. We'll get the polls again. So the teams that
round four.
The teams I'm already saying, it's already 3-0. The teams I'm saying that can't win it, that are the top four seeds, Sweeney. I'm saying no Iowa State. I don't trust them offensively at this point. Love them defensively. Incredible run. Great year for TJ. Just don't know if they have the horses to beat a team that's going to put up 90, and they're going to give up 90 at some point. Auburn. If you could tell me that we had senior year Aiden Holloway, I'd be in. I just don't trust the freshman in that situation. Alabama, Sweeney, I don't trust the defense. Baylor, don't trust the defense. Kansas, they're hurt, man. Like, it is what it is. And then Duke, just don't think they're tough enough. Anyone out of that group that you vehemently disagree with and would knock me off?
We've been over with Auburn, so I would say them. I think they're a real contender. I think the only other I would say is Baylor. I think Baylor's tough. I think Baylor's improving defensively. Their young guys are playing better. I would not be shocked if this Baylor group is at least in a Final Four.
I'm with Sweeney on that one. And Baylor was going to be my pick. They shoot the hell out of the ball as well, too. So they're really good offensively. Obviously, they've taken a step back a little bit from traditional Scott Drew teams on the defensive end, but they've been a little bit better down the stretch. So I definitely think they might be able to put it together and make a run.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a blast, guys. Those are the teams. We got 10 of them. 10 teams can win a national championship this year. For Kevin Sweeney, for Jarrell McNeil, make sure you guys go and check out Splash Sports. It's splashsports.com/68, the number 68. That is where we are going to have our Field of 68 Survivor Madness. Anybody that doesn't know how to play Survivor Pools, you guys are missing out. It is an absolute blast. We have the three-man weave coming up next. Kai McKeon, Jim Root, Maddie Cox are going to break everything down in the NCAA tournament. It's coming up next.